This morning, I would like to share on communication. I thought of effective communication, intentional communication with all the other subjects that we are thinking of with intentional recently. And there's no question that we need to be intentional in our communication, but communication is such a huge part of our life. I don't know that it's uncommon for us as humans to not really like communication, but yet it is very much part of our everyday life. Whether we're at work, whether we're at home, whether we're here this morning, all of our life very much involves and revolves around communication. I believe God designed us to be creatures of fellowship that thrive on fellowship. God Himself wanted fellowship with us. And He designed us to thrive on that. We see that in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. And God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make an helpmeet for him." And in Genesis chapter 3, we see where there was the first evil use of communication, where the serpent beguiled Eve and destroyed the communication, the open, free communication that Adam and Eve had with God, and I believe with each other as well. And so we see this concept of fellowship and communication right from the beginning of Scripture. And I think that is just another testament to how much God has designed it to be part of us and how important it is. Communication, if you stop and think about it, at the core is just simply sharing. Sharing of what we have, what we know, what we think. We maybe tend to overcomplicate it, but that at the core of it, I believe that's really what it is. And that can be for good, and it can be for evil. So really what I want to look at here this morning, I'm not going to by any means exhaust this topic. As I was studying this, the more I studied, the more I realized we're just scratching the surface. Like, there's just so much here that we can't begin to cover it all. And so I believe learning to communicate the way God wants us to should be a lifelong pursuit. Because I don't believe that we're ever going to be perfect until glory. But in our time here, all of our communication is either going to build or destroy. What are we doing with our communication? Is our communication building others up? Is it tearing them down? Is it drawing others to God or driving them away? So first of all, I want to look at what is some things that are help to build the foundation. Maybe you could say what are some of the cornerstones of kingdom building communication. And I specifically chose kingdom building communication because we could go different directions with looking at communication. We could look at it, all the destruction that happens, or all the good. But today I want to focus on what will help us to have good, upbuilding, effective communication. And that ultimately will build, allow us to have communication that will build the kingdom of God. So I want to look at some things that are part of that foundation. I'm sure there will be more things that, as we would discuss it, we could come up with, but these are just some of the things that have jumped out at me in my studies here on this topic. And I'm also going to be reading a lot of scripture, so I'm not going to turn to every reference. I have them written down here, and I think, yeah, if I tried to turn to every one, we'd probably run out of time. So if you don't make it to every one, at least try to get the reference, and you can look it up later, or I can always give you the references that I have down here, too, at a later point. Okay, so what helps us to have that foundation in our lives that will allow us to have kingdom-building communication? The first one I have down here is purity of heart. And I would like to read some verses here from Luke chapter 6. I'm going to start in verse 39 just to give us a little bit of the context, but the main verses that I was wanting are at the tail end of that. So Luke chapter 6, verses 39 through 45. And he, being Jesus, spake a parable unto them, the disciples. Can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch? The disciple is not above his master, but every one that is perfect shall be as his master. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but perceivest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Either how canst thou say to thy brother, Brother, let me pull out the mote that is in thine eye, when thou thyself beholdest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, cast out first the beam out of thine own eye, then shalt thou see clearly to pull out the mote that is in thy brother's eye. For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. So verse 45 there was the main point that I wanted to draw from this one. What is in our heart is going to come out. So much of our communication is not just about the words that we say, but it's in our body language, our actions, our tone of voice. There's so many different ways that comes through. And so we can try to say the right words. And a lot of times we might be able to manage the right words. Not always, but many times we can. But if our heart is not there, it's going to come out in our tone. It's going to come out in our expression. Going to come out in our body language. And I think we could probably all look back to a time in our life where we've had communication that somebody was saying something that they really didn't feel. But we could tell. We knew. Because everything else screamed something different. The saying, actions speak louder than words. We can say that lightly, but it's very, very true. So what is in my heart? Is my heart pure? Do I have the love of God there? Or is there darkness? If I have darkness, I'm going to communicate darkness. Next one I'd like to go to is humility. First Peter chapter 5, verse 5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. We've all seen, again, the destructive results of communication that lacks humility. When it's all about me, focuses on me, and I'm trying to talk to you about something, but I have an agenda, and it's based on what I think. Am I likely to communicate to you in a way that's going to bring life? Or am I going to drive you away? If we're driving people away because of our pride, we often create that opportunity for people to say, I don't want anything to do with Christianity. God forbid that we give that opportunity. Humility enables us to truly hear others and to actually hear from them, learn from them. We don't have all the answers in ourselves. If we think we do, we're wrong. And we won't be able to hear other people, but humility does enable us to learn from others, understand where they're coming from. Even if we don't agree with them, we can actually listen and understand and grasp where they're coming from. Matthew chapter 11, verse 29, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. I thought this verse was really fitting because Jesus is saying here, I am meek and lowly in heart. So if we can approach the relationships in our life with humility and communicate in humility, there will be a rest and a peace that follows us. There is nothing more tiring, I don't think, than relationships where there's just no rest. Pride also keeps us from sacrificially serving others because our focus is on ourselves and looking for others to serve us. We want it coming my way. Moving to the next one, walking in the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5. Verse 16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And then jumping to verse 22 and 23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. I trust that it is the desire of every one of us to walk in the Spirit and allow the Spirit to direct when we speak, when we're quiet, what we say, how we say it. Because if we have the purity of heart and we have humility, I believe God's Spirit will be there in our life to direct our conversations, our communication. Next, I would like to look at truth. So living in the truth, it's easy for us to embrace truth in applying it to others. But how about living the truth myself? So we need truth in our communication. We can't just say whatever people want us to say to them. It needs to be instructed by truth, but it needs to be first applied in my own life. So I need to embrace truth in my own life. Be honest with myself. What does God want to touch in my heart before I can really share truth in a productive manner with others? Some verses in James chapter 3, verses 13 through 18. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. So to me, that's the challenge for myself. Am I walking in truth? And then is the communication flowing out of my life helping to make peace, building others up, drawing them to God? Some more verses, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. And then in Matthew chapter 5, we have verses 33 through 37, where Jesus speaks to, not swearing, taking oaths. Again, ye have heard, it hath been said by them of old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. But let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay. For whatsoever is more of these, is more than these, cometh of evil. When I say something, can people take me serious? Can people take it as truth? Or do they have to go, is that really, did he mean that? I think we've probably all seen examples as well where somebody has to try to say something to reinforce what they said. As a Christian, I don't believe we should need to do that. And I believe Jesus actually says right here, do not do this. So yeah, maybe we're not tempted to swear or take an oath. That's pretty black and white for us. But what else do we say? I mean it. I really mean it. That's a simple one, but we do. We reinforce it. And why do we need to? If we're living in truth in all of our life, do we need that reinforcement? People should know without a question. When he says that, he means it. It's true. Next one, exercising love. I'd like to read some verses here in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the love chapter as we know it. I'm going to read verses 1 through 7. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. A lot of these things meet, or where the rubber meets the road for us. How well do I suffer long with others? Am I just saying the right things? But at the end of the day, when it requires a cost to me, am I setting that aside? Do I have my own agenda in my communications? Am I able to bear maybe the weakness of another person? Or do I just get really frustrated? I just want to tell them what they need to change, what they need to do different, so I don't have to bear that. Are we exercising love? It's not just supposed to just be here in the love chapter. It's supposed to be in our life, flowing out to others and affecting the way we relate, the way we talk, what we communicate. And as a reminder here, our communication is not just in our words. This maybe works out the most practically for us at home, where all the little things can crop up. Do I raise my voice in frustration? The next one, living sacrificially. Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 and 25. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Love that goes deep enough to motivate us to the point of personal sacrifice for another person is a powerful communicator. An example that I thought of that we would, I believe, all be familiar with is Dirk Willems. How he was being pursued by that thief catcher. When he escaped prison, he was being persecuted for his faith, and then he escaped, and they were chasing him, and he got across the river, but his pursuer didn't. And he turned back, not knowing whether he would get away or not. But I believe it was the love that God had put in his heart and his willingness to sacrifice his own life to try to save the life of his enemy. He went back, helped him out, did save his life, but then lost his own ultimately. He lost his freedom, lost his own life. Would I have done that? Or would I have been tempted to think, thank you, Lord, here's my opportunity, here I go. I think it would be pretty easy to think that and to look at that as being God's answer to prayer. Or God's judgment, rather than seeing and caring about the plight of the poor man chasing me. John chapter 15, verse 12 and 13. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. We're probably not going to go out from here and have the opportunity to lay down our life for our friend in the physical sense. But what does that mean for me? I believe it just means a love that's so deep that I would be willing to do that if the need arose. And if that is where I'm at in my heart, how will that affect what I do for you tomorrow, today? I think so many times we fail at that. Living in forgiveness. We need to forgive others as Christ has forgiven us. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29 through 32. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. If we have unforgiveness in some corner of our heart, that is going to affect, I believe, all of our communications, all of our relationships. It allows darkness there that hinders everything else. And that bitterness, the examples that I've seen in my short lifetime, that bitterness gets deeper and deeper and deeper and just causes more darkness and more evil communications. If we've experienced God's forgiveness for us, let's give that to our fellow brother, to those that we have interaction with and have maybe hurt us. Doesn't matter who it is. Extending mercy and grace as we have received mercy and grace. I believe we have to first experience God's mercy and grace in our own lives if we want to be able to extend mercy and grace to others. And even so, it can be a weakness. Our human nature is not bent to that naturally. We want to make excuses for ourselves and exact perfection out of everybody else. That's our human nature. How about we reverse that? First Timothy chapter 1 verse 12 and or 12 verse 12 through 16. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and persecutor and injurious, that I obtained mercy, because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Is that our cry? Is that our heart? That we understand that God extended mercy and grace to us, that we could share it with the world and show them his grace and mercy. Colossians chapter 4, verse 6. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. I think a good example of this, again, one that we're all familiar with, is the parable of the unforgiving servant. The one that was forgiven all by his master, and then he turns around and he goes to his brother, pay me what you owe me. He received mercy, but he couldn't give it. Freely we've received, let's freely give. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So that wraps up the section that I have on the foundation, like some of the things that I believe would be foundational to, effective godly communication that builds his kingdom. And I would like to just move into more some practical pointers for effective communication. Many of these will probably not be new to us, but I think it's good for us to be reminded of them. First one I have here is give your full, undivided attention and actively listen. This is one that I struggle with a lot. Maybe somebody comes up and starts talking to me. I was in the middle of something else. And just taking the time to engage. Stop whatever I'm doing. Give my full attention. And then actually listen to understand what they're saying. It shows care and respect, if nothing else. It shows that they're more important to us than whatever we're doing. Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. So am I doing that in my communication, in my interactions with others? Am I esteeming them better than myself? That what they're saying is more important than what I'm doing at that moment? Do I listen to understand, or do I listen to answer? I think there is a key difference there. Am I starting to formulate my answer before they've ever finished? These things are real for me. I think they are for all of us. Especially when maybe it's a conversation that the stakes are high. Maybe we're really emotionally involved in the discussion. It can be very hard for us to set the emotion aside and to actually listen to understand. We know why we disagree. We know what we disagree on. And maybe we have our answer before they start talking. James chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Too often we're swift to speak and slow to hear. I've heard that it's good to take 30 seconds to think before responding. And I'm not sure how often I do that. I think that's really, really difficult for most of us to actually take that amount of time. And maybe it's not always necessary to take that, but I think we get the point. Think before we speak. Don't rush to judgment. Hear and consider everything before coming to a conclusion. Proverbs 18, verse 13 says, he that answereth a matter before he heareth it is folly and shame unto him. James 4:11, speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. It's easy for us to hear something, and rather than exploring that further, reach a hasty conclusion. Feel like we understand the whole thing, and a lot of times maybe that can be influenced or informed by previous experiences that we've had or things that we've witnessed in other aspects of life. But it's often not the way we first perceive it. And so we need to take our time to hear, understand, and know everything before we come to a conclusion or a judgment on that. Think about who we're communicating with, how our communication might impact them, how it might be perceived by them. Will it minister life? And I think it's important to note that we should not be driven in our communication by how it's going to be perceived, because obviously we need to speak the truth. So people will not always agree with what we may need to communicate, but we need to understand, understand how they are perceiving it and whether they are understanding what we intend to communicate. I've seen so many examples of this in my own life where I think I'm saying one thing and they hear something different. And that can happen so quickly and easily. A practical thing that I've learned there, you can ask for them to repeat back, what did you hear me say? Proverbs chapter 12, verse 18, there is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. Proverbs 15:28, the heart of the righteous studieth to answer, but the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things. Are we going to be righteous in our communications, or are we going to be that evil man? We need to take time to think and ponder. whether this is what God would have us to see. Another practical one is lead with questions. Avoid statements. I think if you look through Scripture and just evaluate like how Jesus often related, so many times there was times that he made statements, but so many times he would ask questions. He would tell a story, he would ask questions. And ask them to answer it. He didn't give them the answer. He would ask them to answer it. And I believe that that is a very practical thing that carries a lot of power in communication. Whenever somebody makes a statement to us, we're just naturally wired, especially if it's something we don't want to hear, to go on the defensive. If we're asked a question, a lot of times it can help us to see our own shortcomings, our own needs, without anybody telling us. And the power that that has in communicating what God would want us to without making it about a personal attack. And if you think of it, many times, like in the contrast to that, many times when the Pharisees would come at Jesus with something, there was no questions. It was accusations. It was statements. It was accusations. So again, are we going to minister life with our communication? Or are we going to be spewing evil? Timing. Are we led of the Spirit in our timing? There may be times that we need to have communication that we don't want to have communication. And so that timing can go both ways. Sometimes we need to be mindful of when God is nudging us, you need to go have that communication. When he does that, have it. Don't wait. And if he says wait, wait. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. And then skipping down to verse 7, a time to rend, a time to sow, a time to keep silence, and a time to speak. Do we believe that? If there's a time to be silent and a time to speak, and then do we know when it's time to be quiet, when it's time to speak? I think it's easy for us to fall prey to feeling like we need to fulfill our duty. So maybe there's something that we feel we need to speak up on, and it is truth, but maybe now isn't the time. Maybe God hasn't prepared the soil of that person's heart to receive that truth. Are we mindful of that? Are we in tune with the Spirit of God, that what he would have us to say, or if it would be that time? A lot of times we want to rush things. We want to be able to plant the seed in the morning, water it at noon, and gather the fruit at sunset. Is that how I approach it? I don't think it's by chance that Paul said one plants a seed and one waters and another harvests. Because the work that God does in our hearts is sometimes overnight, but not always. Proverbs chapter 25, verse 11. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. And then Isaiah chapter 50, verse 4. The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned. I really like that verse, because what that means to me is that by the Spirit of God, with His help, we can speak the right word in season, that we can minister life. We can lift up those hands that are hanging down without causing further destruction. And I also like the thought of He wakeneth morning by morning. I believe that, to me, that says it's a day-by-day thing. This is part of a day-by-day walk with God, relationship with God, and that we are receiving daily instruction on how God wants us to walk. Clarity or simplicity. I think those kind of run hand in hand somewhat. There's a couple verses in Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. I will stand upon my watch, set me upon the tower, and will watch. I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower, and will watch to see what he will say unto me, and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision, and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end of it all, at the end of it shall speak, and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. I think we need to strive to be clear and easy to understand in our communication. If our communications can't be easily understood and remembered, we're going to be wasting our time. I really would like to point out there in verse 2, especially highlight the make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. And I didn't study real deeply as to what the exact meaning was there, but to me, that just at face value, that speaks of it being so plain that I don't have to stop and try to interpret what this means. Whether I'm physically running and trying to read something, that's going to have to be big and plain, or whether it's just that it's so clear to me that I can easily take that and put it into practice in my life. Either way, I think that's how our communication, God would have our communication to be. Some verses then in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, where Paul was talking about speaking in tongues. I'm going to start in verse 6 and read through 11. Now, brethren, if I come to you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you, except I shall speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge or by prophesying or by doctrine? And even things without life-giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sounds, how shall it be known what is piped or harped? For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to battle? So likewise, except ye utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For ye shall speak into the air. There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification. Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian, and he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. If we're going to be encouraging one another to a deeper, closer walk with God, we have to be clear and consistent in what we are communicating to others. Prayer. We should make prayer a part of our communications. Prayer should be part of our daily life, and asking God to help us in our daily life, but particularly when we are facing a difficult conversation or a difficult situation, do we go to God in prayer with that? Do we ask for His direction? We should thank God for His love and His care for us and how He's led us in the past, and then ask for His continued guidance, asking for wisdom, for understanding, for patience and gentleness. I think some of the verses that I read here today, I have once or twice, depending on what I'm looking at here. But Colossians chapter 4, verses 2-6. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how ye ought to answer every man. This was, I believe, Paul here asking, encouraging to continue in prayer and in prayer for them as well, like, that God would give them a door of utterance. Do we pray and ask God to give us those opportunities that He would have for us to speak life? The next point is self-awareness and examination. Do we look inward and see what's going on in my own heart? Why am I saying the things that I'm saying? Why do I feel the way I feel? And I'd like to go back to Luke chapter 6, verses 39 through 42. And he spake a parable unto them, Can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch? The disciple is not above his master, but every one that is perfect shall be as his master. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but perceivest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Either how canst thou say to thy brother, Brother, let me pull out the mote that is in thine eye, when thou thyself beholdest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, cast out first the beam out of thine own eye, then shalt thou see clearly to pull out the mote that is in thy brother's eye. I believe that is the core of what God wants us to do in our own lives. As we are communicating with others, looking at our own heart and what is it that may be affecting my communications, or maybe that I am being critical of my brother in, but I don't have that resolved in my own life. And then starting with finding that purity in our own heart. What is the motivation behind my communication? Is there selfishness there? Is there anger? Is there unforgiveness, pride? If there's any of that there, let's deal with that. Share truth in love and gentleness. We've probably all said at different times, well, be brutally honest. We've heard that term even if we don't use it ourselves. But I think it needs to be, we need to be honest, we need to be truthful, but it needs to be done with love and gentleness. verses in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 24 through 26. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. I think that can be really challenging for us when we have a difficult situation, like what it seems Paul would be referring to here, to exercise patience and gentleness. So many times it's just like, what's wrong with you? You should get this. We can very easily fall into thinking that. But it's in meekness, in truth, in love, and gentleness. I think it can also be very difficult for us in our humanity to focus on the issue rather than the individual and attacking the individual. It's so easy for us to fall into that. Communicate face-to-face. In today's world, it's easy for us to hide behind technology. Whether it's, we can shoot off that text. We can shoot off that email. We can even pick up the phone and call. And I do feel like calling is even better than, text or email, particularly on difficult or potentially difficult conversations. But many times in our human nature, we kind of like to hide behind that. And so I think that's a real danger that we need to be aware of and avoid. For every component of communication that we're missing when we are communicating by text or by email, like when we're not face-to-face, there are components of communication. We don't get the expression. We don't get the tone. Those things that we touched on, those are missing when it's not face-to-face. If we're on a phone call, we will get some of those, but we still are missing some of those. And I believe that as humans, we always fill in those gaps. Our body is always trying to fill in those things that are missing. And so the more there is missing, the more opportunity there is for misunderstanding. Or just, and introducing difficulty into that communication. And then lastly, I have protect the other person. So it's so easy for us to, without even necessarily intentionally trying to do it, to start gossiping. Maybe we know something. Do we keep it confidential? Or do we maybe even share a prayer request that gives more information than we should? Or do we, maybe we're in a conversation with multiple people telling a story, are we quick to shift blame? Make somebody else look bad and, it really wasn't our fault. Like, so-and-so did such and such. There's all kinds of examples that you could take that into. But I think if we love and care for others the way God wants us to, we are going to sooner take the black mark ourselves than to make others look bad or to gossip about them. I feel like this morning we've just barely started to scratch the surface. The more I studied, the more I felt like I didn't know about this topic. And I've, by no means perfected communication in my own life, but I desire for it to be something that I continue to pursue and perfect in my own life. And I trust that that can be for each one of us. And I would just like to challenge us to do that. And to look at how, Jesus communicated, the example he left us, and try to live that out by his grace. I'd like to close with some verses in Hebrews chapter 13, verses 14 through 16. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. And to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. God bless you. Okay.